In general, with the immigration system, it's increasingly becoming harder for immigrants, migrants, and refugees to reunite with their families. Our next speakers, they do a lot of support work with refugees and asylum seekers, and with regards to family reunification for refugees, currently there's a 5-year wait for applicants for family reunification, and after the refugee claim, that's only after the refugee claim is adjudicated. If irregular, so-called irregular refugees, if they are identified as irregular refugees, there's a 2-year moratorium on applications from parents and grandparents seeking to reunite with families, family members in Canada. And so I'm going to introduce now two people who are interns at the Romero House. So our next guests are Lizzie Neal and Teresa Edge, and they have been interns at the Romero House in Toronto, which is a housing and support organization for refugees, which has provided settlement and advocacy services to more than 4,500 individuals and their families since its founding in 1992. Lizzie is from South Wales, Britain, and previously worked with young and unaccompanied asylum seekers for 2 years, and then was the assistant coordinator of a youth group for youth unaccompanied asylum seekers. She also spent a short summer in the West Bank, Palestine, teaching in a refugee camp. Teresa is a current intern at Romero House, where her main jobs working with the refugee families, coordinating furniture donations and weekly food share activities, working to connect the community. Before working at Romero House, Teresa worked with refugee services. Where
was in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, okay. And with many programs for international students. So Lizzie and Teresa, would you like to share your...
Yeah, hi, thanks very much for having us here today. We're from Romero House. For the last 20 years, we provided transitional housing and settlement services for refugee families who have just arrived in Canada. It's quite a unique organisation because the staff and interns actually live in the same houses as the refugee claimants to provide this kind of spirit of accompaniment. Normally, the families come to Romero House when they're newly arrived, and then they stay until their refugee hearing or until they get their decision. We accompany and walk alongside the refugees through the whole sort of refugee system, help them with any traumatic experiences, and give them support so they're able to like establish themselves in Canada and kind of try and start a new life here. Many remain part of our community for years after they've been in Canada, and for staff and interns who live and work at Romero House, refugees become a face, a name, and a story. So Teresa's going to talk a little bit about the old system, and then I'm going to talk about Bill C-31, which is the current, which is going through at the moment.
So in order to give some context for how new bills in Parliament, particularly C-31, are going to make it harder for refugees to come and seek protection here, I'll tell you quickly about the current system. So when we deal with refugee claimants, so they come to Canada straight from whatever situation of persecution they're facing at home and make a claim at the airport. And first they have a sort of eligibility interview which establishes, yes, there's a possibility that this person or family may be convention refugees, so people that have been forced to leave their country of origin because of persecution and even threat of death. And so they have this eligibility interview, and then they're given a personal information form, and they've got 28 days to do that and submit that to the Immigration and Refugee Board. And that has all your information about your family, where you've lived and worked for the last 10 years of your life, and a personal narrative, which is most important, saying what happened to you in your home country, why couldn't your government or police at home protect you, and what you're scared might happen if you go home. So that's really what Canada is concerned about. Why can't that country protect their own? And if they won't, then, you know, convention refugee status and they can stay here. And once that PIF is submitted, usually that's done together with a lawyer, and they have legal aid to help with that. then they're waiting for their hearing with the Immigration and Refugee Board. And this could be a few months to a few, a few years. So we have families who've been waiting more than 2 years to have a hearing. So as you can imagine, over time, stress builds because there's this level of uncertainty. They don't know if they will be able to stay in Canada or whether they'll be sent home. Then at their hearing, it can be a bit of a grueling experience. And just, again, every time people open up and tell their story to a stranger, it is a re-traumatizing, kind of like the idea of reopening a wound. And if you imagine telling sort of the worst thing that happened to you to a complete stranger, and then times that by however much more. And and then some people are given a decision on the spot. Yes, they're accepted or not. Sometimes they have to wait more weeks or months to get a letter with a decision. If it's a negative decision, there are a few routes. People can appeal to federal courts. They've got 2 weeks to do that if there was something wrong in the proceedings. For example, there was one woman, her lawyer fell asleep during her hearing. Or in another case, the lawyer didn't listen to the wife in the couple and didn't let her speak in the hearing. So if it's something procedural like that, you can go to federal court if you have a good lawyer who will, you know, pick up on these things. Or you can go for a PRA, a pre-removal risk assessment, which is when you present new information about what has changed in your country, and because of these changes you can prove that you would be in more danger were you to be returned. So that's a kind of saying to Canada, if you deport me, look, I will be killed because my brother was killed or because this is happening here. Because remember, refugee claimants are kind of the first wave of information that comes to Canada about what's happening. They're coming from conflicts that are happening right now, and sometimes Canada's understanding of what's happening in that country is out of date. So like we've seen with Mexico, like for a long time Canada tried to say Mexico is safe, and more it's coming out it's really not safe for many people. So that's what's happening right now. Oh, the other procedure is a humanitarian and compassionate, like we heard from that other guy doing. So that's a direct application for permanent residency based on being established in Canada, being involved in schools and work in the community, having letters of reference, this kind of thing. Pretty much showing that if you were to deport me, it would be too unsettling because I am here established in the community. So that's the current situation. There are several problems with it. It's still difficult for people to trust, understand their rights, and to trust lawyers and translators and other support people to get their story through their PIF. It's also hard for people to wait so long before their hearing. And Lizzie will tell you about Bill C-31, our arch enemy.
So yeah, Bill C-31 is pretty bad. There are a lot of aspects to it. I'm just going to talk about some of them. So it's going to mean shorter timelines. So Teresa was talking about the PIF, which you have to fill in your life story when you arrive. Instead of having 28 days, it's going to be 15 days. So this is effectively going to mean no legal representation for the refugee claimant. It doesn't give you, like, imagine trying to spill your life story in 15 days. You're suffering from post-traumatic stress, which, there's studies that you actually block out significant parts of your life which were very traumatic for you. So, you know, it takes a while for all these things to come out. So 15 days is just not adequate enough time at all. Decisions will be made faster in like 5 to 10 months, which is essentially good. But if your refugee claim fails, it means you'll have no access to the PRA, the pre-risk removal assessment, and the humanitarian compassionate application. Okay, so that's one thing. Another thing is designated safe country of origin. So this is effectively gonna give the refugee system a two-tier system. So whether you come from a safe country or whether you come from a non-safe country. Firstly, this is really problematic because a refugee claim should be on an individual claim on the person, not from the country you come from. AKA, like, Mexico may be deemed safe, but you might not be you might not be able to be gay in that country or whatever.
Like, for example, we know someone who was a police investigator in Mexico, and he spoke up about corruption in the police force, and so he was in danger for that. Or, like, Uganda is a safe country for the majority of people, but if you're homosexual in Uganda, you know, you can be killed.
Yeah, exactly. So, firstly, it's really problematic in that way. Also, it's going to give sole power to the Minister of Immigration to designate these countries. So one person is going to be able to say, this country is safe, this country is safe, this country is safe. Which obviously means it's going to become politicised, no matter which party is in power as well. So if you're designated as from a safe country, the timelines are going to be even shorter. So it'd be more even difficult to get legal representation, to collect documents, to collect evidence that you're going to need for your refugee hearing. You're going to be traumatized again, so to give that information in a shorter amount of time is impossible. Again, no access to PRA and HNCs as well. Another aspect of the bill is if you're deemed as an irregular arrival. Currently, you can be an irregular arrival if you come as a group. So this can be 2+ people. So if you come with your family, if you come with your partner, you're deemed an irregular arrival. If you come by boat, you're an irregular arrival. If you are smuggled, you're an irregular arrival. And it's important to note that there are already laws in place that catch like the actual smugglers. Kind of leaves this question of who are regular refugees that come to Canada, because most people who come to Canada will be smuggled, will come as in a family or whatever. If you're an irregular arrival, you'll be detained for 1 year without warrant, without review, and without appeal. This is women, children, and families and men. It also means you won't be able to access permanent residency in Canada for 5 years. That means you won't be able to sponsor your family to come over as well, which Mary was talking about. If you are able to go through the refugee system, get your permanent resident application, if your situation changes in your country, the Canadian government are able to revoke your permanent residence from you. So you've just gone through all of that, and then you just get your status taken away from you. So this bill goes against everything Canada stands for. It goes against the international human rights laws that Canada has signed up to, the domestic laws that Canada has signed up to. Canada used to be a country that like prided itself on its refugee system and how it was kind of like a prime example in the world. And this bill it targets vulnerable people rather than helping them.
Yeah, and we had a couple of case study stories, but during the evening I lost the piece of paper. Sorry. I'm going to try and summarise. So these are stories of people we know, but we're not even entirely sure who it is because the names have been changed. One woman, Susan, came from a country in Southern Africa, and she came because of the abuse and even kidnapping and things that happened to her and her daughter at the hands of her partner. And she went to the police several times about it, but no one did anything to protect her. And she came to Canada and made a refugee claim, and she had a lot of difficulty gathering her documents because her partner was a member of high standing in the government, and it was hard for her to obtain information. And her uncle was helping her gather documents, and then she found out that he had been murdered. So she suffered a lot when she came, her daughter would run away if a man came into the room. And she suffered as well from stress and anxiety and different things. So this is one story, but the point really is, if she were to come after this bill passed, her country would probably be a safe country, and she would not have had the time to gather those documents that she needed to support her case. And there are other stories too about families, like a mother coming and not being able to afford to bring all her children at once, So bringing two of them and leaving the others with a cousin, and just that if she had been designated an irregular arrival, that would have been at least 6 years without seeing the children. So her children have joined her in Canada now, but her son didn't know who she was because she had left when he was so young. And yeah, like how you're talking, just how hard it is on the families and on the mothers in particular to be separate from their children, especially when their children are in a potentially very dangerous situation. Those are the things we're particularly concerned about with Bill C-31, like the short timelines and the detention. Minister's power, the detention for irregular arrivals. It also costs like $200 a day to keep a person in detention, which seems like a ridiculous amount of money when people complain about refugees receiving welfare. Like, welfare is not as much as detention.
It also means, yeah. I don't know if you guys know a lot about sanctuary, but a lot of people who actually, they can't go home because obviously they're refugees. It's going to mean so many people are going to have to go into sanctuary, which is like house arrest basically, in a church or in a synagogue or something like that. We currently have a family that's living in sanctuary right now, and they're not allowed to leave the house. So it's basically when Canadians take the law into their own hands and say, Canada, you haven't obliged by like international human rights laws, so we're going to keep these people in protection, under protection. It's kind of like an unspoken rule that if they're under, like, in a place of worship, the police can't come in and arrest them and deport them. So it's going to mean a lot higher cases of people having to go into sanctuary because there's going to be no other option.
And we've got some resources like Romero House, Little Flyer. Like right now it's in Parliament. Yeah. And like in this coming week it's at committee. So it's gone through second reading. So there's a timeline here as well. And just really writing to politicians, spreading the word. Here's a bunch of different organisations that have resources about it, or like online petitions, things like that. Here's a list of some of the Conservative MPs in the GTA who are, so these are the people on the committee deciding this, and we've been trying to visit them. We've only managed two visits. Only two of them have agreed to see us, but you know, those are people too you could write. Yeah.
Thanks very much.